Last week, I spoke of zinc for a bit, and a woman told me a very interesting story that I really, really liked. She said that her husband had a substantial cough that just wouldn't go away, and he had had it for some time, but she said after giving him zinc lozenges, it's completely gone. I just thought that was great. But one thing that I really meant to cover that I didn't cover, and I'm just going to make this very very simple, and I think just in a nutshell, last week all I was just trying to get across is how important certain things are to us, especially zinc. And if you have a lack of zinc or if you have a deficiency, I just want you to consider there may be a lot of different systems within your body. They just fail to work properly. They don't work the way they should. They lose their efficiency because they're lacking zinc. So I don't want you to ever underestimate what can happen to you when you're deficient. And if you turn that around and say, okay, what's the potential if I actually feed and nourish my body and give it the very thing it needs so it can operate properly? Well, that's what's called healing and repair. And so just to briefly cover some of the drugs or some of the things that people consume routinely, and I think your mind will be kind of boggled by this, as mine is. But I started looking at, okay, what would be the situation where you're going to consistently see low zinc, where it just underperforms in people, and they have all these problems associated with the zinc deficiency? Well, vegetarians, they probably are the one group that has the most zinc deficiency. But if we go on to scratch that topic and go on to number two, have you ever heard of somebody being tested for H. pylori? And I don't know that I want to go into a lot of details about that, but any time that you have H. pylori and you're being treated for it, that's certainly a situation that can create a classic zinc deficiency. If you're taking a drug called an ACE inhibitor, that's a common blood pressure medication. Beta blockers, there's another blood pressure medication right there. All those cause zinc deficiency. Have you ever heard of somebody taking a diuretic to try to rid their body of excess fluid or water? So when you get home from work at the end of the day and you look at your ankles and you go, what is the deal? I used to have skinny girl ankles or normal man ankles, but now I've got all this fluid in there. Well, a doctor might, as far as they may want to go, is prescribing diuretics. Can diuretics rid the body of excess fluid? Yes. Do I think that they're essential at times? Oh, my word, yes. There have been many people that I've seen that literally their heart is so weak, as in congestive heart failure and other issues, that there's no way that they can pump blood with enough force or efficiency to get the blood through the kidneys where the kidneys can actually remove excess fluid and detox the body. So for those people, at least in my mind, for a short season, a diuretic might be called for until we can get their body in better repair. Now, I realize some people don't want their body to be in better repair. That's the greatest thing they have in their life to talk about is their poor health. They want to stroke it and cuddle it and talk about how severe their problems are. And that's, I mean, you can tell. That gives them the greatest pleasure. If you talk about healing and what to do about it, no, they're not into that. Anyway, but you can't do anything about that. Everything's a choice in this world, right? So you've got ACE inhibitors. You've got beta blockers. You've got diuretics. All these can create or can create zinc deficiency. You ever heard of something called a steroid like cortisone or prednisone? Now, there is a famous drug for causing a severe zinc deficiency. I think I said last week that one classic symptom of a zinc deficiency would be craving sugar. Of course, you've never heard of somebody taking prednisone or steroids and craving sweets or wanting to eat more, have you? That's pretty classic, isn't it? So if you're taking cortisone, steroids, prednisone, yeah, those can all create zinc deficiencies. People that drink alcohol all the time, that's another thing that can cause a zinc deficiency. It's been a while since I've studied it, but you know, people that ask me, should I not drink 12 beers a day? I'm going, well, going to create a pretty good zinc deficiency in addition to a whole bunch of other stuff. If you've ever been prescribed an antibiotic, oh my word, can that create a zinc deficiency or what? Yes. Women that are given estrogen. So a lot of times the doctors say, well, we're going to put you on bioidentical estrogen or Premarin or Biest or things like that. All those things can definitely create a zinc deficiency. So do you want to try to counter that? Because your health is important to you. It's very valuable. I'm trying to think, what are all the antihistamine blockers? You ever heard of Benadryl before? Well, that can cause a zinc deficiency. Anyway, I want to read a quote to you that I think is interesting. And this comes from Matilda Parente, MD, in a book called Healing Ways, an integrative health source book, page 224. But I sort of like this quote right here. And I'm in a very unique situation, and I get to talk to a lot of people, and I really like what most of them have to say. And I'm going to quote Dr. Parente. Many wise individuals who have experienced serious illness will tell you that without health, many things that seemed that were really, really important, they tend to lose their importance. Health becomes what matters, perhaps above all, which I know you and I know that's not true, but still, if you don't have your health, what do you have? Your health is your ticket to being a good father or a good mother. Your health is your ability to be a great grandparent. Your health is your ability to go and to do and to serve. What if you run a tire shop? It's kind of nice if you're healthy, because a lot of people depend on you. What if you have a home health care business? Do you really need to be down and sick all the time where you can't show up to work so you can bless your employees and everybody else that you take care of? Meaning there's just a lot of people that are true servants, and their greatest pleasure is providing for others and to helping others get along. Well, you want to be healthy. She goes on to say that endeavor not to take your health for granted. By considering health as your most precious treasure, you can explore and pursue ways to provide your mind, your body, and your spirit with the attention, love, and nurturing it needs to sustain the whole of you as a vital force for years to come. You know, this is one example, but a woman was telling me that she's been sick for a long time and she doesn't understand why her symptoms are getting worse. And, you know, there's a lot of ways that we could say this, but we could ask a question. Well, what have you done to change the course that you're on? Have you made any substantial changes where you can see a rejuvenation or repair or healing? I realize, folks, I sound like a broken record sometimes, but a long time ago when I was in school back in the 80s, this simple health equation was presented in class, and it's just really always stood out in my mind. And I'm having a really hard time disproving it, even though it sounds simple, but a very, very wise instructor. He might have been in his 90s at the time, but I just really, really, really dug him. I thought he was just fabulous. Now, he may not have had all the PhD credentials behind his name and all the master's degree and won all the literary awards because you published, you know, 50 articles in one particular journal. All that's great stuff. We need that. But in the real world, I've always had a fond attraction for people that get results. And so sometimes in the scholastic field, you'll find people that tend to use all their energy toward writing articles. But in the real world, they don't really care for people. They don't have contact with patients. They're not trying to help patients get well. They're just writing information, which we need. But I tend to be very, very attracted to those people that are in the trenches, that get their hands dirty every day dealing with every possible challenge, but they're still trying to find a way to encourage people to restore their health. But what the doctor told me was, he says, Roy, you've got to remember, son, that as cells and tissues break down or become damaged, or even if they get at the end of their lifespan, they die. your body has this natural God-given blueprint where it's going to try to repair those cells or those tissues or whatever may be broken down. So if the rate of tissue repair is equal to the tissues breaking down, then you're not going to have any symptoms of any kind. So if you look at yourself in the mirror this morning and you say to yourself, self, do I feel good? And you say, yes, I do feel good. Well, isn't that a clue that you're in better repair? Now, if you say the reverse of that, you can say, what's wrong? I'm exhausted all the time. My sleep is rotten. I have all these aches and pains. My body's breaking down. You know how many times I've heard people tell me, I'm 35, but I literally have the body of an 85-year-old. Well, who wants to say that? And I think they're just being real honest with me. Maybe they're venting a little bit, but they're saying I'm sick of it, which I kind of like it when people say that because then you know they're motivated. But if they go, I kind of like being 35 but feeling like I'm 85, well, you know, there's not much you can do about that because you're just not too motivated to take much of an effort to or make much of an effort to change or to help themselves. But see, what you have is, if tissue destruction exceeds the ability of your body to heal, then you're going to have symptoms. So if a person comes to see me and they say, Dr. Morgan, my neck kills me all the time. I literally have headaches every day. My sleep is horrible. I really need to lose weight. And they come back and they've lost a significant amount of weight and their neck pain is greatly diminished and their headaches are gone, and their sleep is restored, wouldn't that be an indication that they're moving and trending in the right direction? Now, if a person is a bit unreasonable, thinking instead of losing 10 pounds in a month that they should have lost 50 or 60 or 70, well, yeah, that's a little bit, you know, over the top, the expectations are. You got to be reasonable. It took you a while to kind of get in the condition you're in, right? But it may take a little while to get you into good shape. But are you willing to do that? Well, I think that you are, because health really is of primary importance. And if you don't get information about how to take care of yourself, then what are you going to do? You're just going to rely on what? Antibiotics and pills and drugs? I mean, you can do that. Oh, I'm a firm believer that if somebody has double pneumonia and they walk in my door, I'm going to send them right to a doctor so they can be prescribed an antibiotic. If they've been struggling with walking pneumonia for 3 weeks, well, for all I know, an antibiotic might be 100% perfect cure for them. There's other aspects of, taking antibiotics, but for them, that's as close as I can tell you that what medicine has to offer is a cure. If you've got a raging infection that doesn't go away, well, you might want to consider a consultation with a doctor. For all I know, you might need an antibiotic. Let me read something else to you. A woman told me something just what I thought it was bizarre. It wasn't that long ago, and she's probably listening right now, but she's just an adorable human being, crazy about her. But she had a diagnosis of cancer. And she went to a medical doctor, an oncologist, and asked the question, why do I have cancer? And he said, it's because of vitamins. You take vitamins as supplements, that'll cause cancer. And I thought to myself, that is just so bizarre. Does he really believe that? I just, somebody call me and tell me their opinion on that matter. Can a physician really turn to a patient and say, yes, ma'am, that's a most excellent question. I'm glad you asked. The reason you have lung cancer is because you took vitamins, or the reason you have liver cancer or pancreatic cancer or prostate or breast or bone cancer or a melanoma is because you took vitamin C for years. Really? That's just nuts. Anyway, I want to read this to you right here. Where's my reference point? Okay, 2014 annual report of the American Association of Poison Control Centers, the National Poison Data System, NPDS, the 32nd annual report from clinical toxicology. Is that precise enough, just in case you want to look it up? Folks, I can't make this stuff up, but here goes. Andrew W. Saul, editor of Ortho Molecular Medicine News Service. He reports on the January 3rd, 2016 report, and I'm going to quote Mr. Saul. There were no deaths whatsoever from vitamins in the year 2014. The 32nd annual report from the American Association of Poison Control Centers shows zero deaths from multiple vitamins. And there were no deaths whatsoever from vitamin A. They also look at the dreaded vitamin B3 known as niacin. You're probably thinking, well, didn't 20,000 people die from that? Sorry to break it to you, folks, but nobody died from niacin overdose. Well, how about B6? No. As far as that goes, there's not one water-soluble B vitamin that was found to be poisonous. Here we go. There were no deaths from vitamin C. I know that's a shock to some people. That's really not. You know I'm being a little bit sarcastic about this, but you know, I hear this so frequently that if you want to die, take vitamins from physicians. And I hear that through patients. I don't ever get on the phone and call the doctor and say, Doctor, Mr. Cancer Doctor, do you really believe that? No. Usually it's the other way around. If anybody's getting grief, it's the oncologist calling me complaining about trying to change a person's diet. And how dare I get them off Big Macs, Coca-Cola, and honey buns? I really have had calls very similar to that, by the way. There were no deaths from vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, or really from any vitamin at all. Anything that you can think of that would be a vitamin, I hate to break it to you, but there were no deaths. They go on to say in the report that over half of the U.S. population takes daily nutritional supplements. If each of these people took only one single tablet a day, that makes about 170, what is the number? Million individual doses per day for a total of well over 60 billion doses annually. That's if you're just taking one tablet a day. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people, they're taking a little bit more than one tablet a day. It might be 10, 12, 15, 20 tablets a day. But what I think this represents is they're trying to help themselves, and they're trying to take weakened organs and tissues, and they're trying to give them life and strength again. How's that for a simple concept? What would you tell a woman if she were anemic? Would you say, well, I think you need to take a cholesterol-lowering drug to correct that? Well, no, you wouldn't. And if she were anemic and exhausted, would you tell her, well, I think you need to take, 10 cups of coffee a day because I hear caffeine makes you feel good? Well, that really wouldn't correct it either. But if she's anemic and she's deficient in iron, wouldn't that make logical sense to give her body the very thing it needs to make very high-quality red blood cells and to increase her blood quality? Doesn't the Bible say that the life is in the blood? All right. Abram Hoffer, I have some of his books. Always, I don't even know if he's still alive or not, but this is his quote. He's the one that's famous for always saying, no one dies from vitamins. Well, he was right then, and he's right today, isn't he, folks? If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Maybe you have a question that's of primary importance to you, and you want some help with it. Well, I would be honored to try to help you with that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today? Oh, I'm great.
I'm doing great also. I had cancer. I don't have cancer anymore. I had an MRI done Thursday, and I'm cancer-free.
I'm telling you, nobody else knows this story. I know the story because you've shared your story with me.
Yes.
But you have done what's considered medically impossible.
You
have completely overcome cancer without using the standard of medical care, meaning chemotherapy and radiation and surgery and whatever else they want to add to the mix. I mean, what you've done is literally impossible. It's unheard of. But you've done it with the grace of God.
That's right. I thank the Lord for his healing hand. I thank the Lord for foods that he created and answer prayers, people on my behalf.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, sir.
when you found out you had cancer, that hit you pretty hard at first, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I was very overwhelmed by it.
But you eventually came to the point where you decided that you wanted to do whatever you could to help yourself, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And I just want your opinion on this. It doesn't to me, it doesn't matter. Whatever you say is fine by me. But how important would you say was? Actually, let me start over and ask this question. Did you radically change your diet from what you were consuming to what you're consuming now?
Yes. Yes.
What was
no
the
sugar? No sugar. Sugar was the biggest problem. Sugar and bread.
How hard was that to come off bread and sugar?
Well, it really wasn't that hard because I changed the sugar to fruit.
Okay.
And the sweet potatoes took the craving of the sugar away, natural sugar.
So you just kind of made a change in your attitude saying, okay, maybe I won't be consuming refined sugar, but I have these other foods over here that are actually good for me, and they satisfy me.
That's right.
Oh, good.
And I stood on the scripture, Psalms 118.
What does it say?
I believe it was 17. It says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Oh, I love that. It's great.
The Lord has truly touched my mind because we are what we eat. If we're putting in toxic foods in our body, our brain will be toxic. But if we're putting God-made foods into our body, then our emotions and everything changes, and our body changes.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, your story is most phenomenal, but to you, was it completely worth it to give up sugar in order that you can live?
Yes, it is. And just because I'm cancer-free does not mean I can go back and eat the same things that I used to eat before, you know, I was diagnosed with cancer. I cannot eat sugar and breads and corn syrup and all those toxic foods again because... Well, for one reason, I have a change of attitude. I have a change of mind. I like how I feel today because I gave up those things. I like the weight that I lost.
How much weight did you lose?
I guess about 24 or 25 pounds. The weight that I've had trouble with my weight all my life. I'd gain and lose. But I found out if you eat what God created, it will fall off of you. When you quit eating sugar... and eat what God made, it literally falls off of you.
What? How hard is that?
It's not very hard at all. Once you have the mindset, you have to change your mind, and it's your choice. No one can make you do the right thing, but God laid the plan out long ago, and we just have to follow His ways.
Of course, I know for a fact you had a very adoring husband that had your full support, or you had his full support, and he was a continual source of encouragement to you. So that definitely made it easier, didn't it?
Yes. He's lost that much weight also, and he is on the plan that I'm on. And it makes it so much easier when your mate will choose to do it also with you.
I mean, wouldn't that be pretty hard if you came home and he was eating pure junk food and you were trying to eat healthy?
Yes, it would.
Great. You have just done awesome. I can't even tell you how proud I am of you. You have done a great job.
And I thank God for you too, Dr. Morgan, because it's your program and coming to see you and your prayers for me that help me to see, you know, the right way to go. And I just praise God for doctors like you. First of all, you're
very kind. Thanks.
You're a Christian, and what you say... it's in the Word. It's there. And I just thank God for you.
Well, you're most welcome, and it's been a pleasure. And just think of all the remarkable ways that you're going to be able to very, very powerfully influence people because you've got such a great story to tell. So thank you so much, Cheryl.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yes, and have a great day, ma'am.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I want to read a little article to you. To me, this is very, very interesting. It's adapted from, it comes from a lady by the name of Veronica DeSaulniers. I butchered her name. Actually, I changed my mind. We'll go to the phone lines instead. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Dr. Morgan, I've got a question for you. It actually involves my wife. She's got extremely dry skin on her legs, to the point where, like, she just, it itches her so bad that she starts to scratch without even realizing it. And our 12-year-old, he has similar skin problems, I guess, and it's majority of it's in his, on his scalp. And we can't seem, like, lotion and everything doesn't seem to really work very well as far as putting moisture back into the skin. So,
but is his dry skin, is that mainly on his scalp?
Well, it's all, it'll come up all over his body, different places, not at the same time, but, you know, it'll come up on his leg or his arm or his face or, you know, but the majority of it is on his scalp. For her, it's mainly on her legs, around her shins, and her face.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about your wife, please?
Yes, sir.
Does she really, really enjoy exercising? I mean, did she just say to her, she tells you in the evening, I've just got to go for a 30-minute walk, dear. Did she say stuff like that?
No, sir.
Well, one of the things that I think of when you find skin that's really, really dry on the legs, and I'm just going to cover a wide variety of topics. Sometimes I find in some people, they just can't even tolerate chlorine on their body. It's just so toxic. It just strips away that acid mantle layer. See, we're supposed to have this. I'm wearing a pair of boots right now. You can't see them, but you know what I put on them last week to try to recondition them? I just have some saddle soap. And the stuff is pretty good. I mean, it just soaks right in, but it takes all that dryness out of them. But the human body is supposed to have this very protective acid mantle layer. It's trying to keep your skin from becoming dehydrated. You're trying to retain the moisture or the water that you have in your body. So every so often I see people that when they bathe a lot and wash a lot between the chlorine or the body soap or the soap they use, it just completely strips away their acid mantle layer. And if you strip that away, there's not much you can do to prevent dry skin from occurring unless you change the circumstances. So let me give you a couple ideas.
Okay.
You might try, there's a type of soap that they sell at the health food stores called Castile soap. You might try using that for washing and bathing with and just scratch the other ones. But if you have a shower, what you want to do is just, I think they cost $25 to $30 at the most. They have these shower heads, and I want to say the company's called Rainwater.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think for a second. Maybe Rain Pure. For some reason, the name Rainwater's coming to my forefront of my brain right now. But Rainwater shower filters, they actually try to remove chlorine from the water that's so you can avoid it that way. So that could make a difference for her. And that's easy.
Okay.
I mean, you just have to get like on eBay or Amazon.com or the internet and type in shower head to remove chlorine from the water. But at least that's doable, right?
Right.
And so another thing that I'll do is if her legs are just real dry, I will just at all costs not put any soap on them whatsoever. Now, I realize that women are built differently than men. I mean, I have never shaved my legs. Do you find that hard to believe?
No.
Women do it very, very frequently, don't they?
Yes, sir.
And so I usually try to talk women into, once you give yourself about 1 week of no leg shaving, which they may, you know, rebel at that idea, but if you just use a little bit of apple cider vinegar to wipe the legs down, that's one technique for trying to rebuild that acid mantle layer that protects your skin from losing its moisture. So, and on the upside, I mean, flies will probably follow her everywhere she goes and on her walk today, but I don't see how that affects me at all, but I'm figuring she's going to like that. I was joking, obviously, but the other thing that I like very much when I'm trying to repair this, I love a technique called dry skin brushing. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
These brushes, usually it has like a hard wood type handle. But these are just natural vegetable fiber bristles, usually that comes from the blue agave plant that they use to make agave nectar or tequila or whatever it is. But they also use this stuff to make brooms. So it's almost like a broom for your body. But when you scrub that, what you're doing is you're trying to unclog a bunch of those sebaceous producing glands that secrete those generous oils that are manufactured for your skin and your legs. So there's several things. I've already covered the idea of chlorine. I covered the idea of not using soap, Castile soap. Dry skin brushing is probably number four on the list, but you're going to stimulate those sluggish glands to wake back up. Now, I know this sounds bizarre, what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. All the lubrication for your wife's skin comes from the intestinal bacteria that live deep within her bowels. And they, what they do is about 15% of all the food that she puts into her mouth, whether that's zucchini or squash or sweet potatoes or broccoli or cabbage or cauliflower or salmon fillets, or like me, I like sardines. Nobody else eats them, but anyway. But with your body, those bacteria are going to eat some of that food, and they're going to in turn convert that into the lubrication for the skin that covers your legs. So you got to have enough beneficial bacteria. So one question that I ask with some regularity is, you know, I'll tell a person, you don't have to really be ultra precise or perfect, but how many rounds of antibiotics have you had in your life? And a lady told me this week it's in the millions, which I know
Wow. It
can't be in the millions. She's just saying it's too high to count, which I don't know. What would that be, 40 or 50? I don't know what the level is. But anyway, so you can always ask your wife that. But one of the things you want to do when there's very dry skin on the legs or on the scalp is you need to try to replenish or build up those good beneficial bacteria or microbes, because that's where all that lubrication's made. They convert the sweet potato into what are called short-chain fatty acids. And these are things, which that's what vinegar is. Vinegar is actually pure fat. It's just a very, very short chain, about, I think it's 2 carbons long. See, pickle juice is fat, so if you're craving pickle juice, you're craving fat. Anyway, so that's an idea that you have right there. But the other thing that I'm really after is you've got to greatly increase the flow of blood throughout the body. And I think I was reading in a textbook not that long ago that said that every day that you're alive, your liver filters about 640 gallons of blood. That's a pretty big number.
Yeah.
I'm not a researcher, so it's not like I'm going to hook up a video camera to a blood cell to find out how many times it passes through the liver. But so that's where exercise actually comes in play, because if you're sitting down for like 6 hours a day at the work, you're not getting 640 gallons filtered. You're probably getting more like about 480. But if a person exercises, you speed the rate of blood flow through the body. And as a general rule, the faster that blood flows through the body, the greater the nutrient delivery, the more oxygen, the more fatty acids are carried to the skin. So usually improving a woman's muscle tone is going to be phenomenal. Does she have nice, thick skin on the bottom of her feet?
No, sir.
The reason I say that is, if they compare women with thin skin on the bottom of their feet versus women that have thicker skin, and actually the skin becomes thicker on the bottom of your foot when you walk outdoors barefoot, or you go for long walks, or you exercise. That's called adaptation. The skin becomes thicker to help counter the effects of exercise. It just means you become stronger. But usually women that have thicker skin, they have twice as many blood vessels in their legs as compared to those that have thinner skin. Actually, you should just put it to the test today. I mean, I'll give you several options. You can fly her to Hawaii and she can walk across hot coals. If she can't do that, she might have thin skin. I'm joking. I don't want you to do that. But if she says, let's go for a walk barefoot, if she starts doing, you know, a little dance, like, oh my goodness, I can't even move. It's just so, walking on the grass is super duper painful. I think I stepped on a cotton ball.
Right.
And screams, you just know the skin's not very thick. So that's another technique to really help change this. So the easy thing to talk about is giving what are called fatty acids. I'm not so sure that olive oil may not be one of the greatest oils of all time. Now, you know what I saw yesterday? I was in the parking lot of Walmart, and I got out where they have, you know, this time of year, they take part of their parking lot and they convert it into a nursery. But this tree, I started looking at it, and I thought, what is that? I haven't seen one of those before. You know what they're selling now at the store, in the parking lot, to plant in your yard? They're selling olive trees. I told my wife, she said, what do they look like? I said, I don't know, but I think I'm going to get one, plant in the backyard, see if we can grow some olives. I just think that's too cool.
That wouldn't be a bad idea for me and my wife. We love olives.
Well, you know what? Here's what you're supposed to take from this morning's program. You're supposed to say, sweetheart, I just spoke with Dr. Morgan. He says I should take extra virgin olive oil and massage your feet and your legs daily.
I think she'd love that.
Well, I mean, I know it's a tremendous sacrifice on your part, but just think, you might score some major points with her.
Oh, I don't have any problems doing that.
if she goes and buys a dry skin brush, and usually they cost about $7, they're not made from any type of plastic synthetic fibers. Get those natural fiber skin brushes. If she starts brushing her legs, oh yeah, she's gonna scream and she's gonna yell and hop around like that hurts, but just keep doing it. If you were to go outside, you'll see all the dust coming off of her skin. It'll just be phenomenal. But if we don't shed that top layer of dead skin that's just built up, we're not going to solve this. We just got to clean all that out. But dry skin brushing, that's the technique to do it. You know what I did yesterday? Well, I won't tell you everything I did because that'd be a waste of time. But we had a toilet that was leaking. And so I had this new rubber ring to install to take care of it, which it worked. But I couldn't figure out how to unscrew the screw to change it. So I resorted to my least favorite technique. I got on YouTube. I typed in how to change the flapper rubber ring on a Champion toilet. Champion is the brand name. I didn't make that up. But anyway, so I said, oh, well, that's just a lot easier than what I made it. So I actually did it. It took me every bit of 2 minutes tops, and now I've got a happy wife because the toilet's not like running every 5 minutes or, filling back up again. So I actually resorted to a YouTube video, and I thought, okay, Roy, you can learn. Sometimes I think I don't need to read instructions. I just get after it and start doing it only to find out, oh, there was an easier way to do this. But they have plenty of YouTube videos that demonstrate dry skin brushing. But
YouTube is my best friend.
You know how many times it saved my bacon on fixing a vehicle? A whole bunch.
I know, that's right.
I just love those videos they put on there, like how to change an oxygen sensor, how to do this or that. It just makes my life easy. Of course, if you buy an oxygen sensor for $26 that's OEM, that beats $350 by the dealership, doesn't it?
Right.
Anyway. But I would look at those things right there, but I'm a firm believer in olive oil, both internally and externally. And what she's saying is we just need to heal her skin. I bet you anything, she is going to have glowing, beautiful, radiant, gorgeous woman skin before long. And so if you dry skin brush and come back, but I would probably avoid shaving, but I wouldn't put any soap on those legs for a little while.
Okay.
I mean, who cares if she has stinky feet, right?
I don't.
I know, she won't. Well, are you kidding? All women smell good.
The kids might spend a little more time in their rooms.
I was a good boy. I didn't pursue that, did I? No, but I really appreciate your phone call. Let me know if these help.
I will. I sure will. And thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Appreciate your phone call. Give my best to your wife.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Actually, I started looking at that olive tree out of the window of the pickup, and I said, what is that fruit on there? I know anybody would have noticed that was an olive, but it took me just, every bit of 10 seconds to go, oh, it's an olive. And then I got out and looked at it. Yeah, okay, an olive tree. Now, I'm assuming that they're not selling olive trees that won't grow in Texas. I hope that's correct and right. All right. I want to read this to you. It comes from Heal Your Heart and Reduce Your Risk of Breast Cancer. Well, things like this catch my attention. Let me read this to you. It won't take but just a few seconds. The article says, can healing your heart reduce your risk of breast cancer? Well, let me ask you. Do you think that's a fair question? And the second question is, and this is just my question, is there any relationship between the health of your heart and whether or not you're going to develop cancer, especially breast cancer? Okay, here we go. Researchers at the Institute, third question, I want you to ask yourself, is my physician doing anything wrong with the way they're taking care of me? That's a good question. Well, what if I ask another question? What exactly are they doing right? So here we go. Researchers at the Institute of Heart Math, they think that there can be a relationship between healing your heart and reducing your risk of breast cancer. Now, I realize this is more attuned toward women, but what if you're a man? And healing your heart has everything to do with healing your colon cancer or prostate cancer. Just an idea. You know, because typically, whatever women have with breast cancer, men are going to experience in like fashion with prostate cancer. Now, so far, I have a 100% success rate in my personal endeavors to help women not develop prostate cancer. I have not had one female patient ever develop prostate cancer. So I know that's kind of a bold move to admit that, because there's going to be a lot of people that says that they don't have the same success that I do. But the good news is not one of my female patients has ever developed prostate cancer. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's get back to the article. That was a waste of time. Researchers at the Institute of Heart Math think so. Their decades of research have concluded that the heart plays a really big role in regulating stress throughout the body. A stressed mind and heart lead to a stressed body, making it vulnerable to DNA damage and replication of unhealthy cells that can cause breast cancer. Here's your ticket right there. You got to reduce the stress on the body. Well, what if that means not eating junk food that's going to stress the heart and lead to DNA damage? And then these cells that are damaged, they replicate, and all of a sudden you got a whole bunch of unhealthy cancer cells that lead to further problems. All right, here's a quote right here. Douglas Brody, MD, that's a medical doctor, he has identified key personality traits that can increase one's chances of breast cancer. I'm guessing right now the wheels are turning in your mind and you're kind of asking yourself, okay, I wonder what these are. Here you go. Here's the personality traits that increase one's chances of breast cancer. These include having a strong tendency toward carrying other people's burdens. That's one. Number two, taking on extra obligations. Number three, this is a big one right here, holding on to feelings of anger, resentment, and hostility, and being unable to cope well with stress in general. I think I've heard it mentioned recently that the dominant emotion that leads to a very short life here on earth, meaning you die pretty quick, that would be anger. Do you know of anybody that's been angry most of their life? Bitterness, resentment, hostility? Yeah, they're probably not going to live a long time. Of course, sometimes they do. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, forgive me, somebody was just trying to call, but if you call now, I'll be glad to take your phone call. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you haven't heard this program before, well, it's called Health Essentials. I've been doing this for a little while, but I'm not ultra professional like, some programs, but still it's fun because of you. And I would rather use my time and my energy trying to encourage you and to help you. I read a letter from a relative yesterday about how, not a relative that I'm in close personal contact with, but the letter stated this child had a serious ear infection. The child's probably 25, 26 years old, had to go and get antibiotics. Another child had a severe upper respiratory tract infection, had to go get antibiotics. Another child had a sore throat, had to go get antibiotics. Well, you know, it doesn't take too long to figure out that that gets old pretty quick, because studies show that the more antibiotics that one has in their lifetime, the greater risk for cancer. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I have a question.
Hello.
Regarding...
You have reached KBJS 90.3 FM.
Let me hang up. I waited about 1 second too late to pick up the phone. Forgive me, ma'am, if you'll just turn around and call right back at 903-586-5257. I'll get you right in, and I won't wait this time. Sorry, I was just trying to finish what I said, and I just missed my golden window of opportunity, so please call back. I realize that was very rude of me to hang up on you, but I don't know any other way to stop the answering machine or the outgoing message on the answering machine. So, please call back, ma'am. There we go. Thank you very much. Good morning. Are you there? That goes back to the answering machine. I wish I knew how to turn that off. Let's try it one more time. 903-586-5257. I think I have to wait for it to stop ringing before I can do that. Okay, it sounds like it's clear now. I don't hear it ringing. 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, where did I get this information? Oh, yeah, this just completely blows my mind. This is just more details. And again, I don't want to come across as always cynical, but I would rather focus on things that are going to lead to improved health, wouldn't you? Okay. Peter Rost, he's an MD. He is a former vice president of Pfizer. If you haven't heard of Pfizer, well, I'm sure you have. It's got to be one of the largest, biggest pharmaceutical drug manufacturers on the planet. So he's a former vice president of Pfizer and a whistleblower on the pharmaceutical industry. He is clearly an inside expert on pharmaceutical marketing practices, which I don't know if y'all know this, but my father was a pharmaceutical sales rep for 25 years for Abbott Laboratories. So maybe, you know, I have some thoughts on this. Rost explains that multinational pharmaceutical corporations, they actually control much of the research that's being done by providing the money for funding research. This is no surprise, but to hear it from the horse's mouth makes one sit up and listen, which they control a lot more than just most. They control almost all of it. Consider this quote from Richard Horton. He's the current editor-in-chief of The Lancet, considered to be one of the most well-respected peer-reviewed medical journals in the world. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and quote Mr. Richard Horton, again, the editor-in-chief of The Lancet, which I don't know if you've ever heard of a journal called The Lancet, but friends, that's got to be one of the longest, oldest medical publications where they produce these articles that your physician or your nurses like to read. And here's the quote. The case against science is straightforward. Colon. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, it's a pretty big number, friends, may be simply untrue. Isn't that something? He's saying half of it's a lie. If he says the word untrue, that means it's a lie. False. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, that means they really got next to no improvement, but they tried to write an article overstating how effective the drug or the chemotherapy actually was. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, that's his word, not mine, invalid exploratory analyses, that means they just made up a whole bunch of bogus garbage to say that it was actually effective, and flagrant conflicts of interest. You know what that means? That means we paid $1 million for this study, and so we're going to make it say exactly what we want it to say, and we're going to publish it as if it's a fact. Together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance, science is taking a turn, has taken a turn toward darkness. Now, I butcher that. I'm going to read it again. This is his quote, and this time I'm not going to interject like I just did. So I kind of cheated you on that one. This is a quote from Richard Horton, the current editor-in-chief of The Lancet, considered one of the most well-respected peer-reviewed medical journals in the world. And here's the quotation. And I will not be adding on this time like I did. Of course, you don't know that, but yeah, you do. The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may be simply untrue. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analyses, and flagrant conflicts of interest, together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance, science has taken a turn toward darkness. Ho, 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 ho. Man, that is a big-time slam. You know, I don't expect you to agree with me at this point. You can if you want. You don't have to. But I think unless we change our whole healthcare system toward patient-centered and patient outcomes, that our future is just going to be bleak and dark and dismal. You know, when I drove to work this morning, I brought my two little daughters with me, Noli and Molly Ann. They're just playing. Oh, no, they're over my shoulder stalking me right now. But the medical journal on the radio was saying that specifically half of all medical doctors don't even listen to their patients. The patients tell them something really important. They're saying, "Doctor, right after I had this surgery, I just can't recover. I can't get well. I feel horrible." Half the doctors don't even listen to that. All right, we're going to put you on Crestor. That's what you need. But, doctor, did you hear what I had to say? Yep, you want Crestor, and I'm giving it to you. But it's just ridiculous. I always think that the most important part of the equation is the patient. Yes, sometimes you have to tell the patients the truth, and you have to tell them straight to their face that if they continue down this course that they're on, it is not going to go well for them. Sometimes I tell a person, you don't need to have a stroke, you don't need to develop cancer, you don't need to have a limb amputated, you don't need to have a blood clot form. Do you really need to have an infection that kills you? You know, somebody told me recently their Uncle George died of a toothache, and I'm thinking, no, that wasn't a toothache. That was a tooth that told them they had a serious problem, but it was really an abscess, and they ignored it, and what happened? Well, it developed probably into sepsis, which is blood poisoning, and the infection spread like a wildfire, and nothing could stop it. How long does it take for the body to be completely overtaken by infection? Well, if it gets into the blood, not real long. You might take a vibrant individual, and they might be dead before they wake up in the morning. You know what bodes well? Is when people feel better, and they can see a change. And it sure helps if people live in reality, but just like I told you from the previous study, you know, is that a real healing personality to be angry all the time? No. No. It helps if you say, you know what, I'm the one that got myself into this mess. And I'm going to listen to what the doctor has to say. And if he can build a good case on how I should rejuvenate and heal my body, then I'm going to take it and run with it. And I think that's what a physician is supposed to do. That's just my opinion. I'm not going to have anybody else agree with me. But the physician is supposed to teach the patient how to restore themselves if they have a problem. This guy that came in to see me with just horrible hand arthritis previously, I'm looking at his fingers and I said, "What has happened? Where are those huge swollen fingers?" He said, "Well, my hands have been feeling a lot better over the last 3 weeks." I'm going, "All right." Good morning. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Good morning, Doc.
Yes,
Morgan.
Ma'am.
I'm calling because you mentioned a couple of weeks ago about exercise or something that you can do to relieve back pain or to prevent back pain.
Yeah, I can tell you historically, the stronger a person is, the less back pain they have. I think I told the story about I was and I threw the magazine away. I wish I hadn't, but I got a free copy of Sports Illustrated in the mail, and I think on the front cover it shows three baseball players. I'm almost positive they were members of the team called the Houston Astros, but I'm the last one to follow sports. I just don't do that. I know that's really important to some people, but not to me. So that's probably why I tossed it. But I had a patient go into the restroom right when the mailman came, so they were in the restroom, you know, a while, so I just started flipping through it. But and I forget the gentleman's name, please forgive me, but this pitcher, they said that 2 years ago he was absolutely the worst abysmal pitcher in Major League Baseball. I thought, well, that's not a real great compliment to give a guy, and now they're saying he's absolutely the best pitcher in baseball, and that caught my attention. And you know what part of the credit is? He started engaging in Pilates classes. And it shows
Pilates,
yes. And that's just a very specific form of exercise to restore and increase and improve the function of the human body. And so how can somebody go from being the worst to being the best and feeling like $1 million? Well, he took control of his health, and he greatly improved all his weaknesses in his back. So I bet you anything, he didn't even experience back pain. So you know what the number one predictor is for how long a man's going to live? His physical strength. It doesn't bode well for a man for his muscles to sag. And have you ever seen somebody just shuffle across a parking lot like they can barely move more than 2 or 3 inches with each step because they're so unsteady and so unbalanced and they're so physically weak? That's not good.
Right.
But maybe what I recommended... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's what I was getting ready to say, that I thought I remembered you saying a specific DVD or something that you were recommending that.
Well, yes,
the audience,
ma'am. I mean, Well, I don't know if I said purchase, but if you get on YouTube, you can type in the name Katie Bowman, and you can look up all the back exercises that she recommends. But it's just real easy to...
Okay.
Her name is Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N. But I like her because she's just very simple and to the point. So if a person has continual chronic back pain, I'm telling you, I know for a fact because I've seen it, because I literally thought about quitting work in the mid-90s because my back was in severe pain all the time. I thought to myself, Roy, all you're doing is killing yourself serving 40 people a day as a chiropractor. That's just ridiculous. And that's where that's when I came across a book called Core Performance by Mark Verstegen. And I really think it took about an hour. I started to say an hour. It didn't take an hour. It took a month of doing these exercises. I just did the two first sets of stretches and exercises he recommends. But my back was pain-free at the end of the month. And that's all I had known was back pain. So my back doesn't even hurt at all now.
Okay. I was going to say, the name of the book that you mentioned again was called...
Well, the book,
Performance.
Yes, and the author's name, Mark Verstegen. I think it's V-E-R-S-T-E-G-E-N, I think, or something like that. But it's called Core Performance. It's an old book from the 90s, but it's got great pictures. It's very easy to follow. But it's like anything else. The key to fixing back pain is restoring function. And that's what, thus, enter yoga or Pilates or calisthenics or these exercises like Core Performance.